Hello, everybody. Kathy Caprino here, and welcome to week two of our Amazing Career Project. It's funny, my clock says, 11:59, and I'm raring to go. I always start this a minute early, and I should just wait and just be patient, like we're learning in the Amazing Career Project. Oh, here we go. Now's the top of the hour. So wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. And I want to share with you that, as I mentioned last week, what I love to do on these calls is give a little bit of supplemental training for about a half hour and then open it up to your questions. But as we're just beginning and just launching into our program, I wanted to ask you if you had any questions right now that you have a burning wish to talk about, anything at all, and we can always do this in every call. Just for a few minutes, take a question or two. And again, no question is too big, no question is too small. There are no silly questions. So anything you want to share, whether it's a struggle or an issue or a question or a triumph and a win or something you're just so excited about, this is the place for that. So again, to share, those of you who are on the phone with me, you can hit star 2 and that'll raise your hand and I'll take your questions in the order they come. Or if you're online only, you can submit any comment or question, through the online form. So either way, and I will check that right this minute and make sure that no one's got a question. And if you are online but then you actually want to speak, you have to, of course, call in because that's the way I can hear you and we can talk. All right, no questions? All right, another thing I want to share with you, which is a really new funny thing. I was giving a webinar yesterday, and it was raining, and I live in Connecticut, and I live among the beautiful trees. It's glorious. However, living among the trees means power outages, and the minute I said, hey, listen, I may lose power, I lost power. And I was sitting here in the pitch dark. So if that ever happens and I drop off the call, I'd ask you to just hang on and be patient for about 5 minutes, and I will try to get back in with my backup system, my cell phone, my laptop. But I hope that'll never happen. All right. So let us go to no questions. All right, folks. And oh, I do want to say thank you so much already for posting on the Facebook page. I love what you're sharing. I love the quotes, the articles, the questions. I love it. Thank you for participating very, very actively there. All right, let's go to the slides and what we want to focus on today. So we are talking about amazingly successful women, and the takeaway is this. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Learn how others have done what you long to and follow their lead. And there's so much to say about that. And immediately, I wrote a post on Forbes this morning about perfectionistic over-functioning. And one thing, read that, I'm guessing that a lot of you will resonate with that. But one thing that comes with that is comparing ourselves to others and feeling less than. And so when I talk about what amazingly successful women have done, and in the video you'll hear me talk about, I did, not only did I do a year-long research study on professional crisis for women, and that's my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, I've also done an in-depth study on women succeeding abundantly. And it was their definition of success, not mine. So I put it out there. Anybody who felt they were succeeding abundantly, and it was on any dimension they cared about, spirituality, finance, launching a business, their family, whatever it was, launching a product, making an impact, writing a book, it was their definition. And in analyzing this data, and this information and their stories, what I wanted to do was understand what do these women have in common. They all come from incredibly different, parts of the world and incredibly different trajectories and histories and backgrounds, but what do they have in common? And that is the heart of what we're talking about this week. But before we get there, I want to jump into the idea of role models and the kind of support that we have available to us in the world. But so many of us, when we're struggling, we're working so hard in our corporate jobs, we're launching our businesses, we don't look up. We don't, as my friend Mo says, pull the viewfinder back and we don't look at what's available to us. And the very first thing is the idea of role models. So I mentioned in the video, years ago in my corporate life when I was really, really struggling, someone said to me, and I forget who it was, so who's your role model? And I went completely blank. I didn't have a role model. Nobody. Nobody on the planet. And what I now know is that role models, and I differentiate role models between role models, mentors, and sponsors. I think they're all very slightly different. A role model, in my mind, is not necessarily someone you've actually connected with, but it's someone in the world, and it actually can be in history, it can be in mythology, it can be in sports, anybody that represents a few things. Number one, helps us envision what we want because you see it, and what you see, you believe, right? It's someone who helps you believe it's possible to get where you're going. And also, it's people who we follow, and by following them, they give us information about our own trajectory, information we push against, information we embrace. And I realize that not having role models is one potential indicator that we're really feeling isolated and alone, because it means we don't have anyone in the world that inspires us to watch and to say, wow, I see myself in that person. So it's really important to find role models. And, you know, ever since that time when I was so isolated and alone, I have a lot of these people. I have role models, I have mentors, and I have sponsors. And they can make a life of difference for you. So that's role models. So I'd ask you to think about, who do you admire? Who is 10 steps ahead of you in the world that you think, wow, that just looking at this person and watching this person, you know, one of them for me is Brené Brown. And many of you have heard of Brené. I just went to her TED Talk, The Power of Vulnerability, 22 million views. I mean, I have a little business crush on Brené, because in some ways I see myself in her. I mean, we wish that we had a TED Talk with 22 million views, but in that she's a social researcher, and her messages, just the way she shares them. Watch this talk. She's a humble speaker. You know, it's not razzle-dazzle, but it's absolutely life-changing to watch her 12-minute talk. So she's a role model for me, absolutely. Who are yours? And if you really feel like I have no idea, then I encourage you to get out in the world more. Get in social media. Get involved. Get engaged. We're talking about this later, but get out there networking. And even if you don't like what you're doing and you desperately want, and I realize this in my corporate life, we don't want to network when we hate what we're doing. We don't want to talk about it. And that's why so many people struggle with networking. Because they don't like what they're doing and they don't feel authentic and juicy and powerful in it. Well, who wants to talk about it when you feel like that? But what I'd encourage you to do is think about the future vision that you have of yourself and get out there in the world and start finding people that are doing it who inspire you. Now, mentors are a little different. These are people who you are going to connect with and have a relationship with. And they're people who you admire and respect, who are 10 steps ahead of you, but they're in your world. And what I want to share with you about that is I've written posts on this. Go to Forbes, my Forbes blog, how to find a mentor, how to find the best mentor for you. And also there's another post, don't reach out to a stranger and ask, will you be my mentor? Sheryl Sandberg talks about that in her book Lean In, that doing that is like, have you ever seen the children's book, Are You My Mother, I think it's called. I have it. My kids used to read it. And a little bird had fallen out of her little nest. And she went around the world asking everything she could find, a tree, a dump truck, you know, a crane. Are you my mother? And that's not what you want to do for a mentor. What you want to do is find someone in your sphere right now. Even if it's in your job that you don't like, there's got to be someone there who's doing it right, who you respect, who's 10 steps ahead of you and you like what they're doing, how they're doing it. And you don't come up and say, would you be my mentor? You form a relationship. And it should be a mutually reciprocal one. And I have to say, too, I'm contributing on Forbes to a new series all about mentorship, and it's called Secrets of the Trade. Forbes.com/ I can share that with you, Secrets of the Trade. And it's presenting really inspiring people, Adam Braun, Ryan Blair. I've got a lot of Randy Zuckerberg I just interviewed, Mark Zuckerberg's sister, fabulous stories about how mentorship, either being a mentee or a mentor, has changed everything for them. So you want to find someone in your sphere who's 10 steps ahead of you, and then you get to know this person and you demonstrate your potential, right? You're not a stranger to them. They've seen what you're capable of. And then you ask a question. That's it. You know, Sally, you know, I really admire how you ran that sales meeting. It really engendered a lot of respect and a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and I thought everything you did was really inspirational. Could I ask you a question about that? That's how you do it. And hopefully if Sally likes what she hears, she'll answer your question and then say, you know, how else can I help you? I'd be happy to help you on that. Now, sponsors are a little different. They're mentors, but they have one thing different. They have power. They have clout. They have influence. A sponsor has the ability to open doors for you, has the ability to recommend you. You know, Kathy's really great at this. I think, you know, and boy, that happens a lot. And when that happens, I have one sponsor, mentor, role model, Judy Robinette, who's in my life. She's older. I interviewed her for Forbes, and we just both really clicked, and I fell in love with everything she's got going on. And since then, she's written an amazing book, How to Be a Power Connector, and she is a power connector. I mean, she has billionaires in her Rolodex, and she's so helpful, and she does it in such an amazing way. She is a sponsor for me. And these people, when they offer help, you jump on it because it's very high-powered help. Like I was mentioning to her a few years ago that I wanted to help entrepreneurial women, but I was a little reticent for some reason, and she gave me a little slap across the face proverbially, and she said, do you really think you don't have enough between your ears, enough knowledge, enough brilliance, enough experience that you can't help entrepreneurial women? Come on. And that's what a sponsor can do as well. They're powerful, and they help on kind of crack open the fears you have, and they help you move forward. So how can you access mentors and sponsors? And truly, it's easier than it seems. I get a lot of questions about this. How do I do it? I'm scared. Who do I reach out to? It's easier than you feel. You just have to be present, demonstrate your potential to people, connect, and don't just do it with your hand out. Think about what you can do for them as well, because you can. You can do things for a lot of people. All right, now I want to talk about 13 behavioral traits of amazingly successful women. So the video goes into, you know, all of these, and I want to touch on them quickly. And again, as you can see in the homework, this is not about you comparing yourself to someone else and feeling less than and, oh, look what I have to do. It's not that. It's looking at traits that have been incredibly helpful to people who are achieving career bliss. Because here's the deal. Amazing success and career bliss and career happiness doesn't fall in our laps. It doesn't just fall in our laps. We have to meet the universe halfway. Now, things do fall in our laps when the preparedness is there, when the courage is there, when the commitment is there. Then you won't believe what starts to happen for you. Doors open, opportunities literally fall in your lap. And I'm going to share one of those that just happened to me at the end of the call. Unbelievable. When you do the work of being open and ready, unbelievable things happen. But these 13 traits and behaviors are going to help you pave the way for that, for you to have that openness for amazing experiences to happen. So the first is positive thinking, and I talk about below the line and above the line. What you want to start doing, and I'm going to say this 1,000 times, greater awareness equals greater choice. You can't change your life and you can't change your trajectory if you're not aware of what's going into it. So I'm asking you to bring forward a great deal of awareness of how you operate in the world. So the very first, I'm just going to check here for a minute that you're all on my dashboard and it's all, yay, great, nobody's dropped off. Wonderful. Back to the slides. Okay. So positive thinking, it's really important to look at how you think about the world. And we're talking later about happiness, how to embrace it, all about Sean Acor's work, who I adore. I'm a huge fan. Talk about a role model and a mentor and a sponsor. He's done groundbreaking work in the idea that in our society we have this very backward damaging myth that if I work hard, I'll be successful. If I'm successful, I'll be happy. And it is not accurate. In fact, the way it works is the opposite. The more you can gain access to positivity and positive thinking and a positive mindset and happiness today, regardless of what is going on outside of you, the more you can do that, the more quickly and exponentially your life, you're going to have great success. You know, one thing about private coaching that I do, it brings to me all of these things that we're talking about in this course, and I get to work with it one-on-one. And just yesterday, I have this amazing client, fantastic experience. She's a director at a very well-known consumer goods company, and she wants out because it's a very toxic culture right now. And I can feel it and see it, that she feels that she just wants to leap. She wants to get the heck out of there, and she's pretty much ready to do anything. And I keep saying in every session, I hear how desperate you are, but I want something else for you. I want you not to leap before you've done some work to make this better. Because just the doing of that changes you. It empowers you, and you become more confident and more courageous, and that changes what you attract. It changes the very next job, the very next conversation you have. So we're on, I think, week three, she and I, and she finally got it, and I said, I know we're working on you leaving, you're interviewing, we're working on the long-term plan of career bliss, but what can you do today to make this job better? And out came an idea, and she's going to go pursue it now. And it was so, I feel like it shifted for her. What's going on? Positive thinking. All right. Number two, I talk about goals, and this can be a little confusing. I believe in big goals, big hairy BHAG, big hairy audacious goals. I believe in that. However, what I've seen in goal planning is if you create a goal that's too far away from yourself, you won't get there because you don't believe in it. I mean, I even think about this in terms of the money I'm hoping and planning and to create and build in my business. If I think of the number as too huge, I don't resonate with it. It doesn't feel right. So I have to think about, well, what do I really feel? And I don't mean we need to constrain and limit ourselves. My goals are big. Talking, you know, millions of dollars for my business. But if it's too far away, I feel like, ugh, there's no juice in that. That's ridiculous. So your goals have to be natural outgrowths of where you are, all right? And you have to chunk down these steps so that you can see yourself in the trajectory. And I talk about people saying to me, gosh, I really want to write a book. And I can't tell you how many times I say to people, very cool. So are you writing? And the answer is no. Well, you can't write a book if you're not writing anything. You can't do it. Or if you do it, it's not going to be a good book because writing needs to be a practiced skill. So that's that. Number three, access to power. And I mean that internally, our own power. We are so much more powerful than we are aware. You wouldn't believe how much more powerful you are than you understand. But to leverage that, you have to gain awareness of how you're talented, how you're amazing, the natural talents that you have, the natural skills, what you've honed, what makes you special. This is how you get access to power. And also your non-negotiables and what you're going to stand up for. And we also need access to external power. We can't just do this all by ourselves. So the video talks about ways to think about that and access more power. Commitment, I've talked about this, I think, with you all. It's not really about what you want. It's about what you're going to commit to. And I don't want this to be a scary, intimidating thing, but you know this to be true. What you commit to is what you focus on. I don't know if I mentioned this. I interviewed a wonderful author, John Manning, about what leaders, great leaders, have in common, and it's discipline. And he talks about the vital few, focusing on three goals, the most vital few goals, and areas of focus that are actually going to move you forward, and not distracting yourself with the trivial many. I mean, I find that in my business. I literally have 100 things going at once. But even my marketing, wonderful marketing director, Jamie, you wrote me back today and said, you know, is this something urgent that we need to address today? How right! Because I was going off on a long tangent about something that actually isn't, you know, hitting the road until January. Well, we have too many other urgent things that we need to address. Why am I focusing on the trivial many right now? So it's commitment and discipline. The fifth behavioral trait of amazingly successful women is courage. And I see this over and over and over, and I talk about this a lot. When we're in a corporate job, for instance, we are not encouraged to be courageous, usually. We're encouraged to get an A+. You better rock that presentation. You better win that client. You better, you know, really have your sales pitch down. You're not encouraged to risk, but risk is what builds courage. Going out of your comfort zone. Courage is not built feeling comfortable. So in a lot of our lives, we're just not encouraged to be courageous. And I'm asking you to do one bold thing a day, one bold thing that makes you think, oh, my goodness, if I can do that, and I can do anything. And I want to tell you, I really use this. You know, I went to Aruba for the first time to the Caribbean, not for vacation, but to speak to a group of 300 women. And I had never done that, gone to the Caribbean. I'm going to speak to the National Committee of State Legislators in Santa Fe in a week. Every one of these things are, in some ways, new things. And so I say, well, if you can do that, you know, you can do anything. If you can get on television and do something at CNN or MSNBC, wow, okay, you can do anything. So start doing the courageous thing that makes you think, oh, if I can do that, wow, I think I can do anything. The sixth trait is great communication skill. You know, I don't mean for these 13 to feel overwhelming to you, but you do need these things. So you can have the greatest mind in the world or the greatest idea or the greatest new business, but if you can't communicate well, you're not going to have success. Because in order to build the support and the trust and the excitement and the loyalty and the help of other people, you need to communicate really well. And, you know, I used to think I was a great communicator till I started writing on Forbes and Huffington Post, and holy cow. Number one, as a writer, you begin to see when people respond to what you've written, you see where sometimes they'll take a sentence in a direction you didn't mean. And when I look back on that, I'll see, I used the wrong word there. I used this word, and really that's making them think this. You know, the feedback loop is incredible. And that's really true in relationships. It's true with your colleagues. It's true with your partners at home, your children. That feedback loop is so important. What people send back to you after you've communicated is going to tell you if you're a good communicator. If what you get back is defensiveness, meanness, abruptness, nastiness, backstabbing, there's something in your own communication that you need to look at. It's really important. And, you know, in the resources, in the whole resource packet that you all have, and I believe it's listed on week one, there's fantastic books to help you and resources to help you with this. For instance, those of you who don't communicate well what you're great at, there's a wonderful book by Peggy Klaus called Brag. This is my favorite title in the world, The Art of Tooting Your Horn Without Blowing It. Who's not going to love that? It's a great book, and I've spoken and interviewed Peggy. She's awesome. She's the real deal. All right, number seven, strong relationships. Here's another thing. I remember I had one very toxic, narcissistic boss, and he was horrible in about every way except one thing he said to me. He said, no one can succeed if they don't have relationships, strong relationships. And just that is the truth. You, if you are at a place in your work life where you don't have good relationships, you've got to begin to address that. Even if you're looking to change careers and get out of that job, you need to start changing the nature of your relationships right now, right where you are, and strengthen them. And there's lots of ways to do that. If you have questions, just post those on Facebook. As a marriage and family therapist, I learned a lot about all of that. Number eight, openness to learning. So I talk about, you know, sometimes when I'm about to immerse myself in something new and launch a new program, for instance, I become the student and I read everything I can get my hands on. And then sometimes I'll say, okay, enough. I've read enough. I know enough. It's time to put it out there. But in general, openness to learning, wow, is that important. And I find for me, for instance, I have sometimes a little bit of a narcissistic tendency that if someone challenges me, I don't love it. I don't love it. But then I take a breath and say, okay, what am I meant to learn? And everybody in our life is teaching us something. Every single person, every single situation has a message from the universe for us. Now, you don't have to catch every ball if it's toxic, if it's really not resonating, but when we're open to learning, what am I meant to learn today? And I ask my higher self, and you'll hear later, I do talk to what I believe are angels, another dimension, and I sometimes write to them, and I get information that I don't feel is me. It comes from another dimension. I'm always open to, okay, wow, what am I meant to learn today? And when I am open to that, the day goes very differently, and I do learn different things. Number nine is boundaries. And this could be one of the most life-changing concepts I learned in marriage and family therapy. And now when I train and coach around it, people have said to me, I've been in therapy for years, and I never even heard that. And boundaries are one of the concepts that marriage and family therapists learn, because we talk about the structure of relationships and the hierarchy of relationships and communication and metacommunication. But briefly, boundaries are, as I conceive of them, the invisible barrier between you and your outside systems, you and your spouse, you and your kids, you and your church or synagogue, you and your workplace. And you can kind of assess the nature of your boundaries on a scale. On the one hand, number one, you know, on the one side of the scale is rigid. If your boundaries are rigid, you're not letting anything in at all. And I see that a lot with, in fact, a lot of men that I've interacted with, or, you know, who are high level in my area and so stressed and working, you know, they're not even home till 9 p.m. And sometimes their boundaries are rigid. They have no idea of the emotional nature of what's going on in their family. They're just rigid. Nothing's getting in. On the opposite side of the scale is diffuse, overly open, just wide open. So you're not protected. You don't know where you end and other people begin. And people who have that kind of diffuse boundaries really struggle in life. And I did. And this comes, it's, you know, developed in your childhood, what you needed to do to survive and thrive in your family. But I was always overly sensitive. If someone looked at me the wrong way, I would be hurt. My boundaries were terrible. I was enmeshed with my mother, and then I became enmeshed with my kids. Enmeshed meaning you're so intertwined that you cripple their independence, and it's bad. It looks loving sometimes in a family, but as a parent, it's very crippling to your children. So it's, and I write a lot of this I write about in my book, Breakdown Breakthrough. I have a whole section on boundaries. So if any of this you want to learn more about, start with my book, Breakdown Breakthrough. I've learned a lot, and I've changed, and I've developed very strong boundaries. And I have learned, and I just taught this last night, if you want to start a new business, or you want to become a coach, or you want to have clients, or you want to develop professional relationships, your boundaries have to be strong. They have to be strong. All right, number 10, we're getting there. Self-confidence. A lot of people tell me, I have big dreams, but I don't have the confidence for it. Well, amazingly successful women don't say that to themselves. They say, wow, that's a big goal. and I'm going to find a way to do it. Why not me? And their boldness builds their self-confidence. So they weren't born that way. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I can't do what she does. She's so confident. People aren't born that way. They develop it. They build it through bold action. So if you're looking at your big dream that we're going to help you do and achieve in the Amazing Career Project, and you say, I don't have the confidence, we need to help you access it and grow it every day. Number 11 is vision. So again, you want the just right vision that's going to give you juice, going to keep you motivated, going to keep you inspired, but we don't want it to be so big or so small that you don't have it doesn't give you the staying power to get there. We really need the just right vision. Number 12 is humility, and I talk about this in the video. I have never been a fan of humility, because what I see is women are overly humble, overly self-deprecating. They don't know how to speak about and think about what they've done amazingly. And, you know, again, I need to say, I am not trying to paint every woman with the same brush. People are different, and not every woman fits what I'm saying, but I've done enough research and read enough research and read hundreds of books and articles, thousands, over 10 years, that the research bears this out. You know, here's a statistic, for instance, 57% of men negotiate right out of college their first salary, 7% of women. And why is that? There's a lot of reasons. There's some neurobiology going on, some evolution, some societal training, some cultural training. But we need to be aware that if we're overly humble, we're actually doing ourselves a disservice. But in this case, I'm also talking about sometimes women who've done some amazing things build a strong ego around it and kind of think that they're the total expert. And I have lived every one of these challenges, and I've, you know, worked on developing a positive dimension around these traits. If you think that no one can teach you anything, you need a little humility, because everyone can teach you something. So that's what I mean. We need to be open to, listen, I know a lot of things, and I'm an expert in a lot of things, but boy, I can learn. I can continue to learn every day. And finally, perseverance. So you know that the old adage, we have a New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, and you know, by April we've fallen off the wagon and we've gained 3 pounds. You need perseverance. The stick-to-itiveness that is going to get you to your goal when it becomes hard. In the beginning, it's often not hard. We're like, woohoo! And I have to say, 1 year ago, last September, I went to a nutritionist because I could not lose the 20 pounds I wanted to lose. And I'm 55, and sometimes, often, for women at my age, it doesn't fall off anymore. And you have to do very different things. And I realized, oh boy, I need help. And this nutritionist was life-changing for me because I reinvented my relationship with food. It's not a diet, it's a change of life. And it was not easy. And in the beginning, as the weight flew off, I'm like, woohoo, this is easy. But then, you know, when my daughter came back from college and she's an amazing chef, and when the holidays came and when we went to Maine and visited her and I wanted lobster and butter, that's when the perseverance kicks in. Darn it, this is hard. How do I do it? And so those are the 13 traits. Oh, I can't wait to hear your questions, your comments. I can't wait. So are we going to tackle all of these traits? No. What I'm asking you to think about through the homework is which 3 traits, and if that's too many, pick one. And before I even finish my sentence, I want to say this. As we move along, some of you are going to say, I'm falling behind, and that's really stressing me out. And what I want you to know is don't worry about that. Do your best every day in your life. There's another amazing book, The 4 Agreements. I talk about life-changing. Honestly, everything I suggest to you has in some capacity changed my life. The 4 Agreements, tiny little book, Don Miguel Ruiz, The 4 Agreements You Make With Yourself to Transform Your Life, and one of them is always do your best. If you always do your best, then there are no regrets. You go to sleep at night and you sleep well because you did your best. So just do your best. So don't worry. Oh, I'm falling behind. I'm not doing. And take this information in this spirit that is it is meant. If you can't do three traits, don't do three traits. Work on one trait. You know, do the best you can. So, but if you can, choose the one or two or three traits you know you have to develop, that you want to develop. And then I'd really like to think you to think about what contributed to your feeling less than in these areas. If it's communication, what is the issue, right? If it's boundaries, take a minute, step back and think, what happened here with my boundaries? And I want to share, this is a deep concept, but if there has been abuse in your life as a child, almost inevitably your boundaries don't develop appropriately sufficiently. Because as a child, you can't protect yourself from something your parents have done to you, or, you know, you're a child. And what happens is, and if you've been suppressed in any way, and for me, I was, my voice was suppressed, I did not feel free to speak up and challenge my authority figures, and therefore I was suppressed. And honestly, until age 40, I didn't realize that. And I needed energy healing. I got therapy and I got energy healing, and energy healing is what changed it for me. So it's important to look at what is contributing to your feeling less than in these areas. And what one step can you take? If it's a boundary issue, who do you need to talk to? Who's impinging on your boundaries? Who do you need to have a conversation with? All right. So every week I'm going to ask you, what is your top aha? And what I love, because there's 20 minutes of video and then 30 minutes of this, every one of you is going to get something different. And that is brilliant. That's beautiful. You're going to get what you need to get out of this. So share it. Share it on Facebook. Here's my top aha. I didn't realize I had a boundary problem until Kathy talked about it. I didn't realize that actually I was below the line thinking. You know, share it. And then share, what are you going to do about it? What do you wish to embrace, and what are you going to let go of? And what's your compelling vision right now? And I want to leave you with, do you understand that you are amazing? And I'm really not exaggerating. Each and every one of you is amazing. All right, let me get to the questions. So those of you who are on the call, *2, I'm on the phone with me, *2, and I will, that'll raise your hand, and I can take your questions. And those of, and again, if you're online, you can just submit your question, but I can't speak to you that way. You have to get online. And again, what I want to share with you is, there is no silly question. And I promise you, I learned this when I was doing market research for about 7 years, and I watched focus groups being moderated, and I learned so much from the moderator, Ann Dobbs. What you are thinking represents what thousands of people are thinking, right? We think we're all alone in what we are going through in our minds, and it's just not true. If you have a question, I guarantee you someone else on this call has that question. So you're actually doing a service to the group by being courageous in asking. All right? All right, *2. I'm not seeing anything, so let me go to the Q&A. Oh, yay, we have a few. All right, Kim from Waterloo. Hi, Kim. Thanks for your question. I do, Kim says. I am finding my job becoming intolerable with a very toxic workplace where I have begun to be targeted. Okay, we need to work with you on this, so do call in. I want to help you with this. I have lived this, and I want to tell you what I've learned. That I was 50% of the toxicity, and I do not mean you deserve abuse. I do not mean that. But I mean that in looking back on my 18-year corporate career, certainly the last 2 years were terribly toxic, but a lot of it was toxic. Backstabbing, being thrown under the bus, ugh, toxic. But I have changed so much now that, knock wood, does not happen to me anymore. So I know that I'm 50%. I was 50% of it. And I really want to help you shift that. And we have to figure out, now when you are truly getting abused, then sometimes you have to take a different track. You got to maybe go see a lawyer. after I was laid off in a way that was not copacetic, I snapped and I went to a lawyer and I got a settlement. So this is not always, I don't mean for you to think I'm saying it's all our fault. It isn't. I got a settlement because I was unjustly treated, truthfully. But I can still see what I did that didn't nip it in the bud. And I should have actually left, you know, 2 weeks into the job. So I would love, Kim, you to call in and we can really talk about how to fix this, how to address this, not fix it, address it. All right. So I'll wait for your call and I'll check on that, Kim. Sandra, hi. Thanks for being here. Sandra says, any attempt at setting the most subtle of boundaries is met with HR visits. Oof. No specific problems, but the perception by employees that I'm not being nice and cooperative. So, again, we're talking about some toxicity here. So what I would say to you is, tell me if you think this resonates. Sounds like there's some toxic stuff, and you're trying to protect yourself from it, but the way you're doing it is coming across as rigid. So there is a way, I have learned this, to communicate what you need. And I have really found this. I can be forceful and not burn bridges, whereas I used to, and I'm only talking about how I hear your question and my experiences, and it's not all about me. It's so that I can help us dimensionalize what you're going through quickly. My vice president once said, gosh, you're like a buzzsaw. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? He said, you get done what other people can't. What I didn't realize is I left body parts in my wake in getting things done. I didn't know how to do it and engender trust and loyalty and support. So maybe that's what's going on. So I'm really hoping you can call in so we can talk about this. There's a number of ways we can go. I'd like to hear how you're establishing your boundaries. And if what we uncover is you're just in a toxic, sick place, then we have to figure out what to do about it. I don't know if this is Sandra. I can't see who it is. There's something about my presence or behavior that threatens others. Oh, this must be Sandra. At least one person in every work environment I've been in since beginning work in high school has prevented me from having mentors, sponsors, and great relationships. Is that common or is that me? How do I sort that out? All right, so now is the time to share a few things here. This is what I believe. If you have a pattern that repeats throughout your life, you are co-creating it, period. Is it common? Yeah. Uh-huh. Every job I had some form of a toxic boss, except for a few instances. And, you know, I even had, after my third job, I said, I'm sick of this. I am only going to take a job where I have an incredible boss. And I interviewed that way. I interviewed the bosses as much as they interviewed me. And I found an amazing boss, an amazing job, best boss in the world. 1 month after I took the job, she quit. And I thought, what the heck? Well, I know now why this is, because I didn't like authority. I'm not good with authority. It comes from my childhood. I don't like it. And that's why I'm 1,000 times happier in my own business. So we have to help you look at what could be in the way or what could be contributing to a co-creation of something about your behavior that's threatening. Because if you have that, that's going to absolutely hold you back. So one thing I want to say, it's hard for me to work with you if this is just, you know, via your online questions. I need to talk with you. If that's not possible, I want to share at this point something for people who are really struggling here. There is going to be a certain point where some of you want more help. You want some private coaching. And I want to tell you this. I am incredibly excited to have a whole kind of array of help for you. And that is in two ways. You can work with me privately, and I have a series of coaching programs, you know, a one-hour consult, a four-session, and a 10-session. And you can read all about that. I also am so excited to introduce to you my amazing, amazing career project, coaching member Laura Neff. She's on the call actually now. and she's the blessing that I mentioned earlier in the call. Last year, I realized I absolutely, for me to scale transformation and help thousands of people in a week or a month, I need help. And Laura is that. Laura is amazing, and you can read all about her on a new webpage we've created, amazingcareerproject.com/support. So if you're feeling like what I'm sharing with you requires, you know, you're really ready to get to the bottom of it, then private coaching is probably what's called for. And I want to tell you this. On that page is also a mastermind program that you'll have access to at the end of this program, but also the energy healer that changed my life that I have sent countless clients to in every walk of life. I've had, a high-level woman who's working in China, and Lynn is the therapist and energy healer, very well-trained. There's nothing woo-woo about it. She's extremely well-trained, extremely capable, and she's transformative. So there are going to be times where, if you're working with me, for instance, I might say a session with Lynn is what you need. And why do I know that? Because at a certain point, talk therapy and coaching isn't, if it's not moving you forward, then it's an energetic issue. It's trauma lodged within your energy system. And Lynn is the one who helped me transform being able to speak up for myself. I mean, I went from a person that could not speak up to writing on Forbes and having 19 million views and getting my ass kicked, excuse my language. I mean, wow. Even today I got a nasty comment about something. You know, when you spread your wings, you bump up against things. And you need strong boundaries and you need to be able to communicate. So check out that support page. I will post it on Facebook. But, yes, wonderful. Let me go back to the dashboard and take your questions. Hello, Waterloo. Hi.
Hello, it's Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. I'm so glad you're here. Talk to me about this now.
So it's just I was quite blindsided by, and I can't really share a lot, just I've had an accusation made against me. It's completely unfounded, but I'm in this course because I'm looking at what I should be doing. I feel like the universe, my naturopath, my friends are saying, "This, you're not thriving in this role."
Right.
And this is really, because it's going to be a very uncomfortable process to go through, even though
what
I
is?
Know that it's not, I have this accusation, so it has to be vetted. And even though I know it's not true, it's a structure that they have to go through and look at it. And I'm just like, I think this is the last straw.
Can I know you can't go into it too much. Can I know the mm-hmm. nature of what they're saying that you did? Is it something they say
that
you said?
I've used my influence to benefit personally.
Okay.
For
now, can I ask you, and, you know, there's going to be some tough stuff in this program because that's how we shed what's holding us back. So can I ask
mm-hmm.
you, can I coach you right here for 3 minutes?
Yes, please.
Is there any whisper of, I don't want to say wrongdoing, but something you could have done differently?
I think we can always do things differently.
Yeah.
Me too.
If you said
I
would say the eyes aren't open enough.
always can do things differently. Did I know?
Yeah.
That it could be looked at this way? No, at the time.
So would you say, would this be accurate? This is a culmination of you not feeling like you belong in this place. This isn't. How long have you been there?
Yes. Just less than 3 years.
If you really are honest with yourself, have you liked it in these 3 years?
I shouldn't have taken it.
Right. There you go.
When you said that resonated with
go.
Me. Oh, my goodness. It's
you
the
know
wrong
that.
Fit.
I went through a clinical depression after I got laid off. It took me years to recover. But when I look back, Kim, what the heck was I so upset about? I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. And I told everybody I hated it. And I asked for a severance package, and they wouldn't give it to me. So why was I devastated? And let me tell you another thing about systems. When you're not happy in a system, the system isn't happy with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a germ that the system wants to get rid of. Does this
yeah,
make
that's
sense?
Interesting. I get comments. Well, I get comments on, well, I can't believe you're still smiling, or, you know, why are you cheerful?
So
like,
why are you still
life,
there, Kim?
But,
why? Why are you
financially,
still there?
I need a financial. Yeah. That's the only reason.
Well, that's, so I know nobody wants to hear this, but this is what I believe because I lived this. That is an excuse. We don't know it's an excuse. We think we have to make the money we're making. I was making $150,000 plus a huge bonus plus a lot of other compensation. I didn't think it was an excuse, but the money is what kept me stuck in sickness and toxicity.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. That's what's happening with me. And that's really, I was wondering, there's another company that I love, and when I do consulting work for them, it makes me super happy.
So one question I'd want to ask you, why do you think you have to stay in this terrible job to make the money you need? Why aren't there other jobs that you could have?
That's what I'm starting to explore. I don't know how to, there must be. I don't know what they are or how to start looking for them, but that's actually what I'm doing right now. Like
let me give you a two-minute synopsis of how we look for other work. But that's why you're in this course. I don't want you
exactly
to leave tomorrow because you're going to attract this again.
Okay.
Now, could you quit now in the middle of this accusation, or is there some constraint here now?
No, I could, but I think I'd feel better if it was resolved first.
Yeah, me too. I would love to see that. But again, not if you're getting abused. But, gosh, there's a lot of empowerment in staying and dealing and empowering your situation today so that you will never attract it again. I mean, that's my favorite way of sharing how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's how we look for work. It's so simple. First of all, are you on LinkedIn?
I am, and I think there's a whole bunch of things I need to do to improve it.
Right.
I know there's things, but I don't know what those things are, so I've got to explore that.
So there are steps we have to take to find a good job. We have to know what we're amazing at, and we have to articulate that. And sometimes people don't know, and you need recommendations on LinkedIn. So everyone needs to know this. LinkedIn is where you've got to go first. That's your digital profile. It's more important than your resume right now because everyone who you're talking to about a new job is going to go look at you there. So it's got to rock. You've got to be able, your tagline can't be your job title. It's got to be who you really are and what you really care about. It's got to present what you've done, not the way people present it in boring resumes, here's the task and here's what I did, but how you have contributed, how you've moved the needle. So the outcomes that you've delivered that no one else has delivered. So LinkedIn has to look like that. Your resume's got to look like that. And then you have to articulate in your mind what you want. And that's a process. You look at the ideal jobs you've had. So your career path assessment that I've asked you, have you filled that out?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Step back as if you were someone else looking at it. What are the themes? What are the dots that you need to connect? And what you're going to find is half of what you've done or more you don't ever want to do again, ever. But then there are other things you can't wait to do more of, or you need to do them in a different direction. So you need to start articulating what you want, and then you start talking to people. It's simple. It's that simple. Tammy, and you reach out to people on LinkedIn and you say, can I take you for coffee? Here's what I've done this for 20 years and I'm really excited to move in a new direction and this is what I'm thinking. Is there anybody you know who'd be helpful to talk to? It's simple, but it's not easy. But you need to start doing that. Is this making sense?
It totally is making sense, and I have my first reach out of that tomorrow.
Wonderful. That's all you have to do. You've got to know that if you're in a toxic job, you've got to know that that is not the only option. But the only way you know that is interviewing. Or if you want to start your own business, exploring that and doing a business model and doing a business plan. So is that helpful to you, Kim?
It is helpful because I was really feeling like I don't have any options. And
that's what everybody
feels. There must be options.
When I had this terrible toxic job, I just took it because it was 5 minutes away from my kids and my home.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I didn't have any other options. Well, that's because the corporate life doesn't teach us how important it is to continue. I tell everyone this, interview every 3 months. I don't care how happy you are. Interview, because you are going to learn so much about yourself. All right, Kim, I hope that was helpful. I'm going to move on to another call. But thank you. Really powerful, powerful questions. Okay, who do I have in New York? Hello? Hi. I have CIBC World Mark. Don't know what that is, but that's New York. Can you unmute yourself?
Sorry about that.
Hi, who is it?
It's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Kathy, I was wondering if you could speak about today, when I listened to this week's lecture about mentors and sponsors and role models, I got like a little deflated because I said, I'm feeling so schizophrenic about what I want to do that home in on any of these figures for me would be a little weird. Because some days I feel like, oh, I feel like I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And then some days I feel like, because of the assessment questionnaire, like I'm unearthing things that would absolutely have nothing to do with maybe being an entrepreneur, but just going into other areas. And then some days at work, things are happening that in my job that I thought was so dead for me, these little things are happening that put me out more in the spotlight. So I was just wondering if you could speak about that process.
Yeah,
that your clients
every
must
time,
all go through.
And
yeah.
Every time I talk about role models, I get this question. I'm scared. I don't know how to do this because I don't know what I want. You know, very scared.
Yeah.
Don't wait to figure out what you want to get role models. Don't wait because they're going to – so in your job, even though you thought you hated it, and there's a little glimpse of, hey, wait a minute, find a role model and a mentor there. Find them wherever you are. It doesn't have to be, gosh, I can only talk to this person about entrepreneurial issues. You know, find a bevy of them. So I have role models and mentors in writing, in communication, in online marketing, in social media. You know, I have authors, you know, in every little direction that I want. So don't worry. You know, it's going to take you time to figure out what you want here. That's why you're in this process. By the 16th week, you're going to know if you've done this work hard. But don't wait. So, for instance, if there's someone that you think is really cool in the entrepreneurial world, reach out to them. You know, hey, I'm exploring. And again, we don't have to always connect with these people. You can follow them. I mean, that's the thing about social media. I follow people. I have followed people for 2 years before I've asked them to, could I interview them for Forbes? And after following them and, you know, taking their advice, you know, that they're giving out in the world, you know, I'm so much more connected with them. I can talk about what I've learned. And then I can really connect at a high level. So go for it. Go for it. And we can't have too many mentors. You know, that's not that's a happy problem to have. Am I making sense?
Yes, but so I'm on track with being all over the place.
Absolutely.
At this point, right?
That's why you're here.
Okay.
In the beginning, we have no options. We think we're stuck in our horrible yacht.
Right.
Then, all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, I've got a lot of options. You're going to have a million options, but by doing this work, you're going to narrow them down. And I can guarantee you, in the end, you're not going to be doing all this. You're not going to be exploring an entrepreneurial thing as well as building your corporate thing as well as, you know, you're going to narrow it down.
Okay.
So don't worry. We're in the, you've kind of jumped to the exploratory phase. That's okay. This is not, this is a circular process, not a linear process.
Okay.
But by talking to people and exposing yourself to people you admire for whatever reason, it's going to catapult you. You're going to start learning things. Does that help you?
Yes. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you. These are fantastic questions. Oh, my gosh. One more minute. Let me see if anyone has something they've submitted here. Oh, my gosh. It's my wonderful, wonderful coach, Laura Neff. So, and I did almost forget this. Laura reminded me. So Laura is going to be helping you on Facebook. And I want you to know I am reading every comment and I'm jumping in where I can and where it's critical for you in the group. But Laura is going to be there, right there in the grass with you in a very deep way. So if you have very specific questions, Laura Neff, again, my wonderful coaching partner on this program, and you're going to read all about her at amazingcareerproject.com/support. She's going to be there on Facebook. So that's Laura Neff. Look for her. You can ask questions specifically of her, specifically of me, whatever you want. But we want to give you as much robust support on Facebook as possible. So ask your questions. And again, I want to tell you, when you ask something on Facebook or here, you are helping the other people that are going through it who don't know how to articulate their question or are scared to. So you're really doing everybody a huge service. So thanks, Laura. Thanks for reminding me of that. And I'm going to take one more question, Maggie. So Maggie says, hi, Maggie. I have a mentor and a sponsor in one right now in my job. It is a man, and he's great. Should I be looking more towards women? Wow. I love that question. So I'm going to answer it in two ways. You know, men have been some of my best, staunchest, most powerful supporters and sponsors and mentors in my life. So it's a wonderful thing that you have men. This is not, I don't want this to be a bifurcated world where, you know, it's only women who are going to help. So go for it. It's awesome. Because another piece, men still hold the majority of corporate leadership power. So if you want a sponsor, it's probably going to be a man in these years until that changes. So that's awesome. But I would tell you that it's a heart-nurturing, spirit-nurturing experience to also have women mentors. Women communicate differently. They interact differently. They engage differently. And again, I think women need to see other women in positions they admire. So I believe it's incredibly helpful to also have women who are 10 steps ahead of you. It's going to be a different kind of help, a different kind of support, but I would go for that as well. But good for you that you have a wonderful mentor and sponsor who's a guy at your job. Bravo. But yeah, keep going and find a lot of people who can help. It's not one or two. Love these questions. And Maggie, you also asked, perseverance is one of the areas where I know I struggle. I will go down one path for a while and then something else will come up and I'll get off the path. Do you have any recommendations for how to stay the course? Or can the problem be just that I haven't picked the right path? It could be that, but it could also be this idea of the vital few and the trivial many. And a lot of us have a problem decision-making. We don't know how to determine, okay, what are the three things I ought to be looking for right now? Right now, what you need to be focused on is, what is the best path for me? You've got to find that first, and that's going to happen through these 16 weeks. And the second piece is discipline not to get distracted at the little stuff that actually isn't going to move you forward. So let me give you a concrete example. In the last year, I've decided I want to scale. That is the thing I care about most. So I want to do the deep work that I'm doing, but scale it, which is really hard. You need a wonderful team like Laura. You can't just do it all yourself. But sometimes I'll get really distracted with, oh, let me do another blog post and let me do this. And I'm writing all over the place. I'm traveling all over the place. So I've had to say no to things. For instance, I'm invited once a week to join someone's telesummit. I have to say no to a lot of stuff. And I have a way of discerning what is the stuff I'm going to say no to and what is the stuff I'm going to say yes to. That's important for you. But first you got to know what is the burning desire. Then you can focus on the vital few. All right? I love it. These are fantastic questions. And I'm so grateful because the more questions you ask, the more we really dimensionalize and get into it so that it's personally breakthrough stuff for you, personally very transformative. Thank you so much. Don't forget, I'd love to hear what your aha is this week and the thing you're going to work on. Okay? And again, you're going to see Laura and me on the Facebook page. Can't wait to see you there. And thank you so much. Don't get overwhelmed. Do your best and have an amazing week. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.